Growth. If you don't have babies, you are not growing. And I am so thankful for the families. It is a sacrifice to bring these little ones with you and to have them in worship with you as a family. And that is appreciated. It is an encouragement to all of us to be with you and to see you with your young families. But all of us are family in Christ. Amen. And truly what we sang, anywhere is home if Christ is there. And this is our home. This is the place of God's people. And we have gathered this morning in a time such as this. We're reminded on this anniversary, Independence Day for our nation, how much we need the relationship with God. Because our nation, our society, we have a tendency to look to self for answers, for solutions, for power, if you will. Hope that you will take a moment sometime this morning or later today to read through the bulletin article, because it is excellent. It's one of the best descriptions of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved. It is a gift of God that I've read, and it's very well written. So please take a moment to spend some time with that. This morning, our scripture reading indicates that we're in the Gospel of John, and we are trying to better understand what the role of Jesus in the person, the physical man of God, was meant, how he achieved this great power on earth. He achieved it by his own nature. Literally, they were in the company of God as a person. And sometimes when I read these accounts in the Gospel of John, it is fascinating how people interacted with God in the flesh. And it really implies something to us. God never came to earth to be honored and worshiped as this holy being. It is so perfect what Isaiah writes in Isaiah 53 about the fact that there was nothing about his appearance that we would be attracted to him. These images and portraits of that time period that show him with a golden halo and these beautiful golden locks of hair and this beautiful hue that it seems so otherworldly, none of that is true. All of that is imagination, because the Jesus that we study in the Bible is common to us. He understands what this life entails for us as human beings, and we need help. Amen. We need a guide. We need something to help us along the way. The problem is, in times like this, whether it's technology, whether it's science, education, we have a tendency to want to figure out our life. We've certainly figured out how to drive, amen? Well, maybe. Because when you turn on your phone and you type in a destination and your navigation system says, go here, make these turns, you trust it. And it is so useful to the point now very few of us learn street names. I don't. We don't really learn east and west and north and south, because it is going to tell you turn here. It's going to tell you about how long it's going to take you to get there. And it's amazing how accurate it is to the minute. That's a blessing to have. But when it comes to spiritual things, the Bible is not like a GPS. The Bible is something we take in ourselves that guides us from our mind, from our soul, and from our body. It is not just a direction that we're traveling. We are being changed by that which is in us. The light of the world. That's what Jesus describes himself as. This light to draw people to God, to the Father. God had a promise. And in times like this, we need to have a light. We need something to get our attention and to help us to navigate in that direction to which we are going, because there are timeless truths. James chapter 4, verse 13, if the Lord will, we are taught. Anything we desire to do, we ought to be thinking first of God. First of all, tomorrow is not promised. I don't have any control over time, even though you make out your to-do list. Even though you look at your calendar and you put these designations, or this is due, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to pay this, that is just a hope, because you don't know. And from that mindset, from that frame of thinking, it helps us to understand who is truly in control of our lives. It's not us. We are mere children, and this is the place in which God has allowed us to grow and to develop spiritually to be the servants that he would have us to be. Today or tomorrow, we may miss something, right? Some of us missed the fireworks. Oh, terrible. Or some of us missed an appointment. But those boring, tedious hours are punctuated in this life oftentimes by worry, anxiety, and dread. I worry about something I'm going to miss. I worry about something's going to happen and I'm not going to be there. I'm worried about the time that I live in. It's not like the time I grew up in. And teens look to drive and then graduate and then college. And then college graduates look to employment and career and retirement. And then we all together look for new house and cars and all of those things. And yet God says, I'm in control. Don't worry about time, because we as a church, as a body, have a mission. And it's not a new building. It's not growth. It's not activities. It is to teach others the gospel. That's our mission. We want to bring other people to the foot of Jesus, to his feet, and to his message that he is here to seek and save that which is lost. All the other things complemented. Having a new building, great. You got more room. Having more people, great. That's more people that are going to be converted. Having more activities. Oh, we're going to be able to work together for this great mission. We're going to be able to encourage one another. All of those things go under or in line with our priority. Times like these, we need to be mission-minded. We need to be a people that are either on a mission or we are the mission. We ourselves are the mission when it comes to repentance. We may regret the things that we have not done. And sometimes living in the present are filled with regrets. If I think about all the things that I need to do, should do, or must do, or someone wants me to do, man, that's a heavy, heavy day. But I repent of those things that God would have me to do, that I have not done. The time for repentance is now. Now. Yes, we offer the Lord's invitation at the end of every sermon, because it is a time that God wants you to come. It is a convenient time, but any time is the right time to repent and be more faithful to God. Jesus, in the time of the first century, was trying to help people to understand the time is at hand. He begins in John chapter 12. We're going to go a little bit higher than our scripture reading. And we're going to begin in verse 36. He says, while you have the light, this is John chapter 12, 36. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. He says, a little while, indirectly, Jesus is mentioning his death is coming. I am no longer going to be God in the flesh. And so while I am here, listen to my words. Listen attentively. Consider this as the time. Now is the time. I don't want to put off anything else. I am going to focus on what God has to say. And be careful, because there will be plenty of other noise out there. He goes on. Verse 37. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe him. Why? Because the light can be clouded for us. It doesn't change the light, but we get distracted. We allow the privilege of this life sometimes. We allow all that we have and all of the comforts and even some of the things that God has blessed us with, luxuries, to cloud the fact that the time is now. Your children will not be children for long. You will not be a young married couple for long. You will not be waiting for graduation for long. The time will be there before you know it. What will you do now to prepare yourself? Jesus says, I am the light. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. There is something to pay attention to in the first century, over 2,000 years ago, and today in 2026. There's something for us to pay attention to so that we can be better in our relationships. better in the way we interact with our friends and neighbors, and better as servants before God. No one will come before God empty-handed. John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You're either going to bring before God darkness or light of life, but you won't be empty. You won't be neutral. That's what I'm saying. And so none of us want to come before God with darkness or from a place that God would not want us to enter into his presence or to be cast out from his presence. We want to come before him in the light of his love, to be recognized as his servants, his children, members of his kingdom. And what a beautiful thing Jesus is trying to help them to see, because darkness removes instruction. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about the sun glowing. He's not talking about good weather. He's saying time to listen is now. Listen to the words, the instruction, the example. The signs are there as the light to take you to the source. See the miracle, but then listen to the word that I'm preaching to you. Verse 38, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled when he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah, the prophet, in ancient times, is speaking this to Israel, God's people, the northern kingdom, in a time when they had everything they want. For them, it was spring of spring, right? Every crop is a bumper crop. Every time that we go and do something, it turns out well. Our families are growing. Our communities are safe. And you can just fill in the blank of every outward indication, things are good. But God says things are bad because you don't believe what God is telling you. You have been rebellious, disobedient, hard-hearted people because you have not surrendered to my will. And times are good now, but I'm telling you, bad times are coming. Listen to my prophet Isaiah. Listen to my prophet Micah. And you better pay attention to how you live, not the conditions of your life. Summertime is great conditions. And some people miss the fact that winter is coming. The times when the conditions aren't comfortable. If you can't come to worship during a beautiful day like this, what are you going to do in rainy times? What are you going to do when you don't feel good? What are you going to do when problems are mounting in your heart and you would rather stay home than be with God's people and hear a message of his word? They refused. But we're like them. That's what I submit to you. We're like them. Don't look at them and say, you should not have done that. Man, if Jesus was standing right by me, I would not. Oh, well, yes, I would. Because I'm human, just like they were. And I can recognize these are people who are not listening. And I think to myself, you know what? There's times that I don't listen to God. Verse 39, therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. Many people misunderstand this passage because they think, why would God keep his message from his people? Why would he harden them? And that's not what he's saying. He's really describing a comparison to what happened with Pharaoh. Remember Pharaoh in Egypt in ancient times had all of the children of Israel in slavery. And then Moses comes with the message of God, let my people go. He says, oh, I'm going to let you go. Sure. Yes. And then he said, nope. And then he comes back, not one, not two, but 10 times. The people suffer. And you know what happened? Time number one, Pharaoh's heart was hard. Time number two, it was harder. And you see where I'm going. By 10, there was no penetrating, and that wasn't God that did that. God gave him 10 opportunities. He showed him the suffering. Now is the time, Pharaoh, to change. But you just become harder. And that, I believe, accurately describes. They blinded their own eyes. How blind is someone who can see but willfully chooses not to open their eyes and see? Lest they should see with their eyes, as they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. You know, one of the problems about our condition when we're not repentant is that we're not open to see there's a problem. People don't go to the hospital unless they think they're sick enough, right? The hospital is for really sick people, not me. I've been coughing for 6 weeks, but I'm really not that sick. It's just a cough. But you don't know until you go to the doctor to examine you and say, no, this is a deeper issue. You need further, more serious treatment, but you can believe in your mind until the conditions stop you from standing. And you're coughing while you're sitting, and you're coughing while you're sleeping, and you're coughing while you're lying. Then you say, oh, but you know what? It may be too late to get to the physician. Go while you have opportunity. Penitence is the abundance of faithfulness. Faithful Christians say, I have a problem, and I am ready to own up to it now. Right now. Not put it off till it's more convenient. They did that with the preaching of Paul. The kings did. Not put it off until my family is ready. Mary and Martha did that. We can let anything distract us in a time such as this. But the best place and the best time in your life and my life is before I get to the point where I don't want to. See, the dangerous thing is not knowing that you're sick. It's knowing I don't really want to bother with that. I don't want to go through all of that. And some people do. Some people face life moments, diseases, tragedies, where they just tune out. I don't want to know. Don't tell me I have cancer. Don't tell me I'll never walk again. Don't tell me my spouse is not going to recover. I don't even want to hear it. Because the imagining of what this is going to take. Well, listen, you have a good chance. Yes, this is going to be difficult, but the chance, right? You have a better quality of life, but you're going to have to accept this is a problem, and you can't bury your head in the sand. You can't ignore it. You can't get away from it. But even people in Jesus' time, with Jesus standing right by them, they still chose to ignore. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 quotes Isaiah 40, human life is as grass. Do you remember your yard that you cut in 2001? Right? I'm sorry, I don't remember even last year. But that grass grew, and it grows today. And I couldn't foresee 2026 in 2001. Time is like that. It just shortly goes to pass. And time accumulates. And that's what Peter is saying. Time will pass you by. The time to work must be now. When? While it is day. While you have the opportunity, take advantage of the time. Sometimes things get beyond our reach. Health, we already talked about that. Your employment, your relationships. Sometimes things happen that are no fault of anyone else but our own. David, the great king, the great devoted servant of God, he faced the death of the child that he bare with Bathsheba. And in that moment, he said, I will go to him, but he cannot come to me. He knew there's no more to do. I have to face the reality. Jesus said it this way, verse 41, we're back in John chapter 12. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Isaiah had the benefit as a prophet of seeing it. Northern Israel could not see it. We have the benefit of seeing it today. But will you see what God is trying to show you? Verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. I've referenced it a little bit before. But when you talk about being put out of synagogue, it meant being totally isolated from community. No one would hire you. No one would rent a place to live for you. You could not shop in the marketplaces. You were, for all practical purposes, a foreigner because you could not come into this common meeting, the synagogue, and be with those who were practicing Judaism. What happens in religion is this. True religion is self-denial. It's an acknowledgement of God. It does not shrink back from the duties of being humble. You ever think about that? It's a duty to be humble to God. I owe God my humility. To reverence him, I owe him that because he's given me everything. But that's a recognition. Am I susceptible to this? Sure I am. As a human being, sure I am. I can't be put out of the synagogue today, but I can be isolated from my coworkers, from my friends, from my neighbors, from my past friends from high school, from past relationships or present. When someone else doesn't agree with the decision that you live by as a Christian, it's going to be a problem. If it's someone you really care about. And if you don't think that you can't fall because of someone you love or because of circumstances that you become so entrenched in, you're not being wise. Greater men and women than you and I have fallen. Don't fall to that temptation. That's what Jesus was trying to show them. He didn't want them to fall to this rejection, but he realized there are some who would choose to accept what? Verse 43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And Jesus replies, verse 44, then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whosoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Now here's the powerful, sobering verse. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him, that is the Father. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Jesus' words are everlasting, amen? They're timeless. And so whether it's in the time of now or in the time of the future, lastly, here's some things we can take away from that. Ephesians 5, verse 16, walk circumspectly, carefully, pay attention. Time is that fiber. It is that main ingredient of our life. It can be taken, stolen. It can also be improved. Everything else is going to die. It is going to get worse. Your car is so good right now, Brother Aaron, but one day you're going to say, I got to put this car in the junkyard. I can't do anything with it. I can't drive it. I can't fix it. It's done. And you can't do anything about it. You and I cannot change that system that things will run down and decay. Do you feel life slipping away? Do you feel the order of things? I do. That things can't stay ordered in this way. I can't fix everything and it stay repaired. I have to get it together. And the God says this, time will vanish away. What really matters is, where have I invested myself? In that which is everlasting, the righteousness of God. It's hard. It's difficult. Clearly, we need to understand that the type A sense of living is a disease, right? It's an incessant thing that I go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, and I miss what's right in front of my eyes. The most valuable things. Psalm verse chapter 90, verse 12. Wisdom writer says this, learn to value time, the precious and the substantive elements. The disciples were plotting at the very time that Jesus was speaking about his departure. They were plotting to assassinate him because people were coming to Jesus. Even with the threat of being put out of the synagogue, some people said, no, now is the time I'm going to follow and believe. Can you be like them? Can you and I be like them? Amen, we can. We can make that decision right now. I'm going to put God first today and the rest of this week. And tomorrow, Lord willing, when we see it, we'll have a purpose. We'll have a free and joyous heart. No matter, people are going to be miserable because vacation is over, because the three-day weekend is over, and yet they miss the very joy that you got to see the blessing of a new day. To see that blessing of a new day as a Christian is a wonderful thing. Won't you enjoy that? Let's go to God in prayer. Great all-wise Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you remind us we are not in control in this world. Thank you for your grace that brought salvation, a gift, Father, not that we have earned it, nor worthy of it, but we're so thankful that you help us to understand, to make life a priority. Help us, Lord, not to be succumbed by the comforts of this world, by its luxuries, by its indulgences. Help us that we keep ourselves from the distractions of the true light, which is your word. Father, as we think about the wisdom of your knowledge, we know we can do better. It's so easy to be filled with anxiousness and worry. Help us, Lord, that we give those anxieties to you. We know, Father, that you know our lives and you know our souls. You know us better than we know ourselves, and we're so thankful. You have a plan for our families, for our children, for our relationships. You have a plan for our careers, for our life, but ultimately you have a plan for us spiritually. You want every soul that hears my voice to be a part of your kingdom when it comes that great and faithful day of judgment. Help us, Lord, that we are more worthy by walking righteously. That, Father, we do all things pleasing to you, that by our obedience, but especially through your grace, we might be found and recognized as your children. Lord, we know that the distractions of this world are real, and that, Father, we must gain wisdom and understanding. So let us learn the lesson that those Pharisees and Sadducees in ancient times missed. Let us learn the lesson that this life is so empty that it has no real value. But let us use every opportunity to help, to encourage, and to save others. Father, we know that today is the day. And if we don't see another day together, help us, Lord, that we be found pleasing in your sight. Thank you for your forgiveness, because there's so many things we're so thankful you don't hold to our account. So many things, Father, that you're merciful toward us for, that you could equally punish us, but you love us instead. Even when we were yet sinners, you sent your son to die for us. If that's not the most beautiful demonstration of your love for us, I don't know what is. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Father, for this message. Help us to live it. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. This time we offer the Lord's invitation. Maybe you need to be encouraged through prayer. Maybe you need to repent of sin. You can repent right where you are. Whatever you need, please come as we stand, as we sing. Pass me not, O gentle.